Good morning. God bless you. How y'all doing? Great. Praise God. Aren't you glad you live in Florida? Yeah. Nice, cool week that we had. It's great. I'm just wondering what August is going to be like. Hey, but it's better than living up in Boston, isn't it? Or Michigan, or any place else. It's a good place to be. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, but I'm especially glad the Holy Spirit is here with us today as we celebrate Father's Day. If you need the note sheet, if you didn't get one, raise your hand. The ushers will give you a little piece of paper to take notes on. It should be in your worship guide, your bulletin, if you're not familiar with that. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers. I'll tell you, we got some great fathers in this church. And one sign is you're here today. Because that's a big part of being a great father is leading by example, showing your children that God is important to you. You know, I'm so glad my father, whatever imperfections he had, we always went to church on Sunday. You know, that helped me a lot later on in life, even though I went astray, you know, for a number of years. I believe that was an anchor that brought me back, opened me up, because that was important to him. I knew work was important to him. He was a workaholic. He grew up in the Great Depression. But I also knew that church was important. God was important. And fathers, I want to tell you how proud I am of you, that you're here today and you come on a consistent basis, that you let your family know that God is big in your life and he's important in your life. And we have a special treat for you fathers at the end of the service. I'm not going to tell you what it is because then you wouldn't pay attention to anything that I say because it's so exciting. You'll just be thinking about it, so I'll save it for the end. Now, you'll probably just be thinking about it anyway because I didn't tell you what it was, but at least you're wondering. We'll start with this verse here, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, and I'm just going to touch on it now, and we're going to come back to it. I wanted to set the tone for what we're going to talk about today. It says this, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he didn't come to condemn us? Tell us how bad we are. He came to save that which was lost. You know, I was 20 years old, running from God, small-time drug dealer, just partying, just wild and crazy, and God spoke to me, appeared to me. And from my background, I would have expected God to have a long list of things that he would tell me how bad I was. And instead, he told me one very simple thing. He said, "I love you." That's the way God is. He just loves us no matter what. He doesn't always love what we're doing, but he loves us. That's the father heart of God. I'm telling you, that's a father's heart. You know, a good father always loves his kids. But I want this thing. He introduces himself through Scripture, the Son of Man. Right there, you see the picture of fatherhood. He could have introduced him as, you know, the spoken word, as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the coming King. Those are all aspects of Jesus, and they're all true. But the Son of Man, he puts himself in that relationship that he has a father. It's important. Fatherhood is very, very important. I'm going to take a little different track that I usually take on Father's Day, you know, talking to fathers, encouraging or exhorting fathers. I'm going to do that somewhat, but I'm going to look at it from a different perspective. I'm going to look at it from the perspective of every one of us, you know, relating to Father God. I'm going to look at it from a more spiritual perspective. But before we do, I want to give you the seven qualities of a good father. You know, this whole concept of fatherhood come from God. God, you know, the one God created the species, the race. He could have created it any number of ways, but he created it such that you come into the world through a father. This whole concept of fatherhood, it's God's idea. He presents himself to us as a father. Jesus taught us to pray, to relate to God. The disciples said, "How do we pray, Jesus? How do we pray?" And here's the first thing he said, our father. You know, I think it's interesting he said our father, because if he said my father, then forever, generations to come, they go, "Oh yeah, it's his father, he's not my father." But he said our father, but really the first key word there is father. The first thing he wanted us to know how to pray is to come to your father. He's a father to every single one of us in this room. He always will be, and he's the perfect father. Now, I'm going to give you, for us earthly fathers, something to chew on this week. I want to give you seven qualities of a great father. These were written by my dear friend, Lee Grady, and so I'm stealing his stuff and passing it on to you because it's good. So the first thing, number one quality of a great father, number one, is they're present. You can't be a great father if you're not there. These are very simple. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I just want you to chew on them. The second thing is they are protective. Fathers protect. You think about God. He's a protector. He watches over you, every one of you. I want you to know you got a father in heaven who's watching out for you. He's got your back. I mean, he's got the power. He's got the angels. You have angels that he has dispatched to watch over you. The third characteristic of a great father is they're affectionate. Sometimes we lose that in our society, but I want you to know you need it. Fathers need to be affectionate. When I was studying at the University of Florida, I took a psychology class. This is like 35 years ago, and it was a study done in Romania. And I remember it stays in my mind because at that time they had thousands, I think maybe hundreds of thousands of orphans. I don't remember what happened in that country, but the government was taking care of thousands and thousands of orphan children. And they had them, they had videos, I remember watching it, of these large rooms. You know, it was kind of like a hospital, but it was more like a factory. Just every crib was exactly the same. They were lined up in rows, and it's just like maybe 1,000 children in this room. They're taking care of them the best that they could, right? But it was like machinery. I mean, it was like, okay, they fed them, somebody went through, fed them, changed their diapers, and then 3 hours later, do the same. You know, it was just factory-like. So they used this as a study, psychological study, and they said, you know, these children, you know, they're being food, their basic needs are being taken care of, but they don't have parents. They don't play. You know, they don't, you know, they're not even touched. They said, let's do an experiment. Let's see if we have a control group, a certain portion of these children, where somebody comes in addition to getting their basic needs met, somebody would come in and hold these children for, I forget, it was like an hour every day. And then they compared the children that were being touched for an hour a day to the ones that weren't, and they put on more weight, they grew faster, they were happier, they were more well. Just touch, just human touch. We need human touch. Fathers, be affectionate, touch your children. Fourth quality of a great father is they're encouraging. Now, I don't know about you, but my dad missed that one. You know, he didn't get that on his list, you know. He was there. You know, but he was hard. And I'm telling you, fathers, we can't be like that. We have to be encouraging. Be encouraging. Speak life. Don't never speak death, doom, gloom. Never say you're stupid. Never speak those words over your children. If they did something they shouldn't have done, explain what they did and why it was wrong. But don't put that on them. Don't ever say you're and then give them a negative word. Encourage them. You're better than that. You can do better. Speak life. They are encouraging. And number five, they're gentle. Yes, we have to correct. There's times as a father where you need to bring instruction, you need to be correction. Never, ever do it in anger. If you're angry, you're not ready to bring discipline or correction. Go calm yourself down. Be gentle. Bring kind words, gentle words. Instruction, yes, we have to instruct, but be gentle. The sixth characteristic is they're stable. I've talked to people that grew up in a home where the father maybe was an alcoholic or was addicted to drugs. He was unstable or maybe moody. And this could apply to both parents, to women. We have to be stable. The parents need to be stable. And if you have issues, get help. If you're not stable, we want to help you as a church. Get in a small group. Make some connections. Talk to a pastor. Your children need stability. If you have addictions, get free. I know a guy who's addicted to brake fluid. Yeah. He told me he could stop anytime he wants to, but. Number seven, they're faithful to God. That's very important that your children know that you're faithful to God. That's important to you, that church is a priority, that you come consistently. You know, earthly fatherhood, God created it as a precursor to children to understand the father heart of God. Our mission at Victory Church, we state it in different ways, but you could state it very simply this way. Our mission is connecting people to God, their heavenly father. A father's mission is to connect his children to God. That's your mission. connect your children to God. Everything you do, you're thinking about that. I'm connecting, because you won't be here forever. They're going to go off on their own. And the best thing you can do is get them firmly connected to God, and they'll be all right. It will go well with them. That's the way Jesus taught us to pray, the first thing. Everybody, man, woman, boy, girl, Father, Father. You know, you could think about it this way. If that's our mission, connecting people to Father God, every day at Victory Church is Father's Day, isn't it? Every service, every morning you get up, it's Father's Day. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. Father's so important. God invented earthly fatherhood to help us understand our relationship with Him. That's what earthly fathers are supposed to be, an example. And you know, everybody on this earth wants a perfect father. And there aren't any. No earthly father ever is. We fall short. You know, I thought, you know, before we got married, you know, I'd gone through ministry and counseling and healed of the hurts of the past. And I thought, boy, I'm going to be the perfect father. But, you know, if I look back, I just have to honestly say, you know, I fell short. I missed it. As much as I wanted to be and tried to be, I was not. And if I did it over again, maybe I could do better, but I'd still fall short, doggone it, because that's just the way it is. We're earthly. We can't be perfect, but God is always perfect. He never fails. You know, it can be tough being a dad, can it? It can be tough being a mom. I remember this one dad called his doctor, and he said, "Doctor," he says, my son just swallowed a whole roll of film. The doctor said, "Well, just wait. We'll see what develops." Can be tough being a dad. Fatherhood is really, it's about shepherding. Don't you love Psalm 23? I just fall back to that so many times. When I'm struggling in life, I just come back to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. No matter what anybody's saying, no matter what the circumstances of life are, no matter what's being thrown at me, things going wrong, and you think you're not going to make it, I just come back to this and I think, that's all right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. God is watching out for me. And that's part of the father heart, is that shepherding aspect, watching out, guarding, guiding. You know, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because He's with me. His rod and His staff are there to comfort me. Rod is for correction, but the staff is for protection. See, all those are contained. Go back and meditate on Psalm 23, how much that shepherding heart of God is in the... And that's what we're supposed to be as fathers, but we always, as imperfect as our fathers may have been, and we've got that whole spectrum in here in this room right now. We have people that never met their father, didn't know their father. We have people that say, "Hey, I had a pretty good father." But they're never perfect. But you still, it's all designed to bring us back to that heavenly Father. He is perfect. He is that shepherd. He's always watching over us. No matter how bad your early life may have been, I want you to know you've got a perfect father right now today who's in love with you. He's mad about you. He's crazy about you. Everybody needs someone looking out for you. You do. And you've got somebody looking out for you right now. You may be here today and you say, "You know, Father's Day is not a nice day for me because I have to think about my father and it's not a pleasant thought." Well, transfer it to God and start knowing right now you've got a good father. Yeah. They were just designed to bring us, to connect us to God, the perfect father. They're going to be imperfect. And if you had that sort of an upbringing, your father wasn't there, or you wish he wasn't there, it would have been better if he wasn't. I want to tell you today, you've got a great father who can really heal all that. It will still have happened, but the pain of it can be gone. Forgive, release, connect to a good, loving father. He'll take you places you never dreamed of. He'll heal you and bring you forward. Everyone needs someone looking out for you. You say, "Well, my father never looked out for me." But you got a father today that's looking out for you. Let's go forward. Let's move forward. Let's get free of the past. Don't let that keep dragging you back. Let's connect to our heavenly Father and move forward. He is looking out for you. Everyone needs someone guiding you. God wants to guide you. He's given His Holy Spirit. He'll guide you if we ask, if we just take the time. I think it's so important in the mornings to get up. Sometime you say, "Well, I'm busy." Just find some time. small as it may be, start off talking to God. Get some wisdom for the day. The more time, the better. It's great if you can worship a little bit, read the word a little bit, and then talk to God. Tell him what's on your heart. But always end with this. Listen. Listen. Let him guide you. Let him speak. That's how he guides. He speaks that still small voice. Guidance. Everybody needs somebody that loves you. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what kind of relationship failures and difficulties you have. But I can tell you assuredly, 100% sure today, you've got someone that loves you. He's in heaven. He's watching over you. He created you. And he has a good plan for your life. Everyone needs someone to care about you. And God cares about you. Everybody needs someone who believes in you. I want you to know God believes in you. He does. When we see really good fathers, you know, we're in awe. It's like, wow, I wish I was that good a father. I mean, sometimes I, you know, hear these stories and my father is like, oh, man, I wish I was that good. And sometimes when we see, you know, really bad fathers, you know, we just know that's not right. Because fathers are very important. How do I know fathers are very important? We can look at it antithetically. We can say what happens in the absence of fathers. An interesting study was done. They interviewed men that were in long-term incarceration in prisons, and they said 92% of the men who are in prison today had little or no contact with their father. You think that had an impact on their life? You can look in communities in the country or any place in the world where the culture is fatherless, where that's the culture, where the fathers don't stick around. You will always see higher crime rates. You will see gang membership. You will see a vastly higher numbers of depression, suicide, lack of ambition, lack of discipline. So how do I know fathers are important? Well, it's in the Word of God, but you can also see it empirically. Where there's a lack of fathers, you see all kinds of problems, hopelessness, and they're all tied to fatherlessness. You can look at two different situations in that happened in the world. One was in New Orleans. New Orleans had experienced Katrina, and it was flooded. You remember that some years back? And as soon as the flooding subsided, people went in and looted, robbed stores, ransacked people's houses. And the police just, there wasn't even enough of them. It was just so prevalent, they just let it go. That's what happened in New Orleans. And then a few years later, there was a similar disaster in Japan. It hit the island of, Honshu, Japan. You remember they had an earthquake, and then a tsunami came in, flooded the whole area, similar to New Orleans. When the flooding subsided, do you know how much crime there was? There was absolutely zero, no crime at all. What is the difference? What's the difference between those two communities? New Orleans was an extremely fatherless community, and the culture in Japan is one of honor and respect. It's almost unheard of that a father doesn't stick around. What they found was you don't even have to be a good father. Just the fact that the father is there completely changes the culture. The culture was such in New Orleans because it was fatherless that they thought nothing of ransacking, looting, crime. And in Japan, it was like they wouldn't even think of that. No matter what their situation was, what was the difference? Fatherless community. Or a fathered community, because life is about relationships. It's about relationships. Your life, the thing that brings you the most distress in life is strained relationships on this earth. And the thing that will bring you the most peace and joy in your life is some good relationships and the relationship with God will supersede all relationships. No matter if you trust somebody that you thought would never turn their back on you, and they did, and they stabbed you in the back, you know what? You've always got a Father in heaven who will never, ever do that to you. He's always there. He's always faithful. Got to learn to get our self-worth and our value from our relationship with God. You see, we struggle with our earthly relationships, and they cause us a lot of pain and uncertainty because we're trying to define ourselves through the approval and affirmation of others. If we don't direct our approval where we get our approval, if we don't get it from God, we will seek to get it from people and we'll be up and down, up and down, because people are up and down. The person that praises you today will curse you tomorrow, and then your self-worth goes up and down. You can't do that. You can't allow your self-worth to be determined by other people. People are wonderful. We need each other. But you've got to establish your self-worth on your relationship with your Father, your Heavenly Father. because it will not go up and down. It will be extremely consistent, and you will be consistent, and you will be secure, and you won't be looking to all these other things to give you approval. Let him affirm you and define you. I love this verse. Like I fall back on this so many times. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. And I know we tend to always just think about the second half of the verse, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, but actually that's not our part of the verse. That's God's part of the verse. Our part is the first half, delight yourself in the Lord. That's the only part I ever think about when I think about this, delight yourself in the Lord. And I think about this a lot, delight yourself in the Lord, because the world is saying, delight yourself in this, in that, in this. If you can get this, you'll be happy. If you can do that, if somebody tells you this, if you'll be, no, delight yourself in the Father, in the Lord. Get your approval from God. Delight yourself in the Lord, everything else will be all right. Yeah, boy, just think about that. Just delight yourself in the Lord. When you don't know who you are in the Father's eyes, you have a big hole in your heart. When you don't know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you, you have a hole in your heart that you will attempt to fill with a whole number of things, and it never satisfies. And you'll go from one thing to the next. You'll get what you think is going to make you happy, and it doesn't, because the hole's still there, because it can only be filled by God. You'll try drugs, relationships, career, achievement, material goods, praises of men. And when you don't know who you are in the Father's eyes, you seek someone else to affirm you. You know, God knew earthly fathers would fall short. He knew that. He knew they wouldn't be perfect. It didn't surprise him what happened to you in your childhood. It did not surprise him. It was all designed to bring you to him. It's okay. It's okay. He's got you. He knew people would fall short. You and I, every one of us, have fallen short in the expectation of other people. God never falls short. It was all designed to bring us to him. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And this applies to everybody in this room. I know, ladies, you know, you're going to have to try to take this word, but that's okay, because us guys, we have to relate to ourselves as the bride of Christ. So there are some little challenges, you know, in the word of God, but you know, you can deal with it. You can understand. All right. So see yourself as God's child. Okay. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. Some of the things that you're going through, it might be God trying to perfect you, working on things in your life. It's okay. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And some of us might say, he loves me a whole lot, because I think I've been going through a lot of discipline lately. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. Aren't you glad? And it says, well, how do you deal with sons? You discipline, because you're trying to get them to some place, to the call that's on their life. Some of the things that you're experiencing that you're praying against, God brought it into your life to discipline you, to perfect you, to get you where you need to go. It's okay. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father doesn't discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. And maybe they didn't know what was best, but it seemed best to them, right? That's where they get mixed up. But look at this. But he disciplines us for our good. See, it's like parents do it for their good, but God does it for your good. Whatever you're going through, it's for your good. You might not like it, but it's, you can change your attitude about it and have contentment and peace in it when you understand, oh, this is for my good, that we may share in his holiness. Listen, God is more concerned about our holiness than our happiness. Sometimes the thing that it takes to get us holy may bring us unhappiness until we understand that he brought that into our life to make us holy, and then it makes us happy. It's all about your perspective. You're going to go through the same thing, but you can resist it and fight it and complain against it and be unhappy on your journey to holy, or you can say, God's trying to do something in my life, and embrace the challenge, embrace the trial, and then you're happy and holy. That's the best way. And what is that about? Faith in God. trusting that he's a good God and he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That he's allowed this in your life to perfect you. I like to say to myself, what doesn't kill me makes me better. Because sometimes I thought he's going to kill me. This is going to kill me. I ain't going to make it. But I make it. Because I say, no, he's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear. What doesn't kill me makes me better if I just keep turning to God. I've found that it causes me to run to God. If it causes me to run to other stuff, I won't pass the test. But if it causes me to run to God, I'll grow and I'll pass that test. And then I'll have a period of reprieve. And then sooner or later, he's going to take me to another test because he's never done challenging us, bringing us to a higher level, because there's an awesome call of God on your life. Yeah. God knows what he's doing. He's a master planner, a master architect. Look at the universe, and he created you just the way he wanted you. No, you're not an accident. No, no, no. He gave you the hair color, your eye color, your size, your personality, a unique voice print, a unique eye print, a unique fingerprint. You're uniquely made to solve a problem on the earth. God has plans and purposes for you, but he's perfecting us so that he can use us to his glory. So we're all called to be sons. And you know what? Look, see if you can receive this. We're all called to be fathers. You say, oh, I can't relate to that if you're a woman. No, you still need to have a father's heart for this generation. Every one of us in this room, maybe you've never been a father. Maybe you don't want to be a father, you know. We still, everybody is to have a father's heart. Yeah, it's godliness to care about this generation, to think about people that are lost and going to hell. We're all called to be fathers. Go back to our opening verse, Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. I want to tell you there's a calling on your life to save that which is lost. If you're in here today, you obviously have some respect for God. Maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not. I hope before you leave here today, you will receive him as your Lord and Savior. But the call on every person's life, and if you're a Christian, this is your first and foremost. Well, the first calling is to walk with God, love God. That's your first calling, love God. The second calling is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you really love your neighbor as yourself, the main thing you're concerned with is their salvation. Hey, I don't like what's going on in our country and the direction that we're heading, but I'm telling you, a political party is not going to save this country.
That's right.
Salvation in the hearts of men will save this country.
Yeah.
Only revival. The church is the hope of the world. The gospel is the hope of the world.
Yes.
Listen, I spent a lot of time and effort in thinking if we can just get this certain type of philosophy and, you know, accepted by certain people, everything, you know. The hope of the world is the church. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is who every one of us is. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Every one of you has a calling on your life to save that which is lost. There are people in your life who you are the only gospel they will ever hear or see. And in that relationship, in that respect, you have to take on the Father heart of God. When you see people and you see them acting, instead of just thinking, well, that is thinking negatively how bad they're, start thinking about the Father. What does the Father heart of God see when it sees that person? Someone who needs him. Someone who needs him. You may look at the outward expression of what has manifested out of their frustration in life because of a lack of fatherhood in their life. And you may be the person who has to see them with the Father eyes of God and see past all that outward and what looked so offensive on the outside and see to a broken heart on the inside that they've never been fathered. We have a generation that has never experienced that type of love in their life. And everyone in this room is called to be that type of a father. Even if you're a woman, there's people in your life. Do you understand? Can you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about taking on, you know, masculinity or stuff like that. I'm talking about that shepherding heart, taking that on, caring about people and understanding people need shepherds. That's why they get messed up. I used to see all these messed up people and be like, just be offended by that. And now I think, what happened? What happened to that person? What happened to that little baby? How did they get from that innocent little child to where they're at today? What happened in their life? And if you sit down and talk with them, it'll bring you to tears to think that somebody can endure what they have gone through. And then you understand, oh, that's how you ended up where you are. Now, how do I get you where God created you to be? We have to take on the Father heart of God. See, that's why I'm telling you, this message is a little different than just fathers. I'm talking about every one of us needs to understand God as the best Father, but He has put within every one of us, man, woman, and child, that fathering heart for a lost generation. 1 Timothy 1:15, it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what He came, not to beat them down, not to tell them how bad they are, to save sinners. Father's Day reminds us of two things. Number one, the essence of life is knowing our Heavenly Father. We should remember this. You might want to write that and think about that this week. The essence of life is knowing our Heavenly Father. And number two, you have a mission. First, if you don't get number one, then nothing else works. You got to have a relationship with God. And number two, though, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? Our mission in life is helping others find their missing Father. A lot of people in your life have a missing Father, Heavenly Father. And it's not God's fault. It's that they have not connected with Him. He's reaching out every day. He's putting things in their path. It might be you. He's saying things to them. They're not listening. And we're to help them open their eyes to what God is saying to them. You know what I found? I've done a lot of evangelism courses, you know, different ways to lead people to Christ. You know what I've kind of come down to now is just asking people, have you ever had any connection to God? Have you ever felt like God was trying to talk to you? You'll find that everybody, they might not admit it to you right then, but if they're honest, God's been trying to talk to them their whole life. Try to connect them back to that instance where God was trying to connect to them and say, hey, now, what did you do with that? How did you respond to that? Where do we go with that? Just bring them forward. God's reaching out to them, and we're just there to assist them to see God loves them. He doesn't hate them. He's been reaching out. Hey, I was a drug dealer. I was wild. I was crazy. And God shows up in my house. Why? Because He loves every single one of us. Cares about us. So number one, the essence of life is knowing our Heavenly Father. Number two, our mission in life is helping others find their missing Father. When you don't walk with God, you have a missing Father. You have a huge hole in your heart. You're like those men in prison. Maybe you didn't end up in prison, but people, you know, they still have that hole in their heart. We don't know who we are. And let me tell you, if you're a single mom, God has the ability to give you that shepherding heart that you can still raise normal children, healthy children. My dad was the third youngest of 12 kids. His dad died when he was four. He never really remembered his dad. You know what? That woman in the middle of depression raised 12 kids. None of them went to prison. In fact, they all were very successful, very happy, very productive members of society. Most all of them were business owners. You know why? She had the shepherding heart, and she brought them to church every Sunday, and they were all connected to God. You can do it. You can do it. You got to understand these principles. So we have that mission, every one of us. You know, when you don't have a relationship, people in your life, they have a missing Father, they don't know who they are, and they don't have bearings. When you're not connected to God, you don't have your bearings. You know what that is? Like a compass heading? You know, you're not heading in the right direction, heading in all the wrong directions. When you have a missing Father, you dance to the wrong drum beat. You're dancing, but to the wrong drum beat. You're stressed out by trying to please unpleasable entities, and you chase after unsatisfying goals. The world system is cruel. And here's what God says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's our message. It's, as Christians, as those who go out into the community looking to touch people with the love and power of God, it's not to tell people how bad they are. It's to tell, hey, you're stressed out. And I know why. You don't have a Father watching out for you. And you know what? Every day, He's calling your name. When are you going to respond? When are you going to get rid of the stress? When are you going to get this burden off of your back? Come to God. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. For too long, that's what we've reduced the gospel to, do's and don'ts. No. You need the Father. That's what it's all about. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. They have to have a relationship. God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you satisfaction in life. You and everybody you know. Look at this, Psalm 91. Love Psalm 91, don't you? Verse 16, with a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Why do you come to church? You're here today. I thought about this. Why do we come to church? I got some reasons. Number one, to have a better life. Two, to please God. Because he said in creation, seventh day is holy. Bring it unto me. Make it a holy day. Another reason is to know God better. Hopefully these services help you to connect better, get closer, encourage you to make good decisions. We also come to give back to God. We come to be in God's family because it is a family. A father has children, they have a family. We have a father, and this is his family. He's the head of the church. The church is his family. And we come to the dinner table with our brothers and sisters. We take communion, we praise, we worship, we do stuff together. Why do you come to church? To fulfill the call that's on our family, because it's a family call. It's not a one-person call. We can't do it alone. Be part of a team that's making a difference. Christianity is all about family, and that means the head of the family is our father. God's the head of the church. We are his family. We have a father. You have a father in heaven who is crazy about you. He's got your picture on his refrigerator. Every time he goes to get a drink, oh yeah, that's my boy, that's my girl. Yeah, on the back of his chariot, there's a bumper sticker. It says, my child is an honor student at Victory Church. They're on the dream team. They're doing great things. Yeah, God's crazy in love with you. Now, I talked earlier about touch. Touch is important. And you know what? I just want to tell you this as we end this service. God wants to touch you today. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. Maybe you know, you can relate to some of these things about the missing father, and maybe you've related. Sometimes in some communities, you know, they talk about Father God, and people, they found this in prisons. I've heard this in prison ministry, that when they use the word Father, that they're afraid of God because of what they experience. I just want you to know you have a loving Heavenly Father who wants to touch you today. He's reaching out to everybody in this room. Do you know him as a loving father? It's today's Father's Day, and we honor the fathers. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to tell you about the little surprise that we have for you, a little treat for you. But I just want to put it in this respect right now. Everybody in this room, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day for me and for you. It's Father's Day. And think about, you have a father who loves you, cares about you. We're celebrating Father's Day. Let's celebrate our Heavenly Father, our ultimate Father. Would you just, let's just close our eyes and would you just tell Father that you love him? I don't care how old you are, if you're a man or woman, boy or girl, you got a father. You got a father. Did you get him something for Father's Day? Just, you know what? He doesn't need anything, but he would love to hear from you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, would you just listen to his voice? Sometimes all we do is talk and unload. Just see if the Father would say something to you right now. Maybe you're a young father. You have young children. Maybe you want to be a better father. He can help you do that. Maybe there's somebody in your life who's lost. And all you've seen is the result of their lostness. And you've never been able to see their brokenness. Father, just open our eyes to the people around us that are broken because they don't have a father. Open our eyes to the ones we need to reach out to this week. And maybe just give them a call or send them a note, send them a card. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here today and you're, as we talked about Father, you don't have that relationship with God that he's your Father, that you know him. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to take that step of faith. Maybe you're here today, and if I asked you, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know, Pastor. I'm not sure. hope so, think so, not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Yeah, the Bible says this. I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. Walking down an aisle or raising your hand doesn't do it, but there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. That's it. It's that simple. You just surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes. He lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, you know what? I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be. Today, I want to take another step with my Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but right where you're seated. Today, if that's your heart, is to take a step forward with God. Either surrender your life to Christ for the first time or recommit your life to Christ. Just real quick, just slip up your hand. Okay? Okay? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. All right. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. I give you my life, my future, everything that I am, everything I will be. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord praise. People got born again, birthed into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God.